Good morning, and welcome to you all on this cold winter day. If you are a visitor for the first time, we are delighted to see you. Today we have three services, and tea and coffee will be served between the two morning services and after the evening service. That will start at 6:30. Next Sunday's 10:30 service includes the baptism of Anna Mason. Rachel and James invite you to enjoy some refreshments after the service in the foyer. Pastoral news. Marguerite Scott has had a fall, but she's on the mend, I believe. Marion Ayres is moving to Queen Mary's Hospital this week, and Catherine Trewick is unwell, and yes, do remember all those people in your prayers. Don't forget there's a lunchtime recital on Thursday here at 12:30. Emily Capilet, who is Sulhi and Julia's professor, will be playing Beethoven's sonatas from them. The countdown to the KURC's 2019 New Year party is now into single figures, with only 6 days to go before the big day. But as the numbers shrink, the excitement grows and can be felt surging relentlessly, even as I speak, through KURC's hallowed halls. So make sure you don't miss out on being part of the fun. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. next Saturday in the Mayo Hall. If you would like to bring a contribution to the party tea, but are wondering what would be most welcome, please have a word with Sharon Enriquez or Margaret Golding. Thank you. Sharon's waving at you. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Come, let us worship the Lord who is love, that we may learn to love as we are loved. We join to sing, Love Divine or Love's Excelling.
Thank you.
standing as we are, we say the psalm. Lord, I have come to you for protection. Never let me be defeated. Because you are righteous, help me and rescue me. Listen to me and save me. Be my secure shelter and a strong fortress to protect me. You are my refuge and defense. My God, rescue me from the wicked, from the power of those who are cruel and evil. Sovereign Lord, I put my hope in you. I have trusted in you since I was young. I have relied on you all my life. You have protected me since the day I was born. I will always praise you. Please be seated. We join to pray. Let us pray. Whisper it low. God is here. God who has begun all beginnings, God who has nurtured humanity and suffered with us, God is here. God who is perfection, the gleam of coal and the sparkle of snow, these are the purities of God's color. God of perfection and flawlessness, God is here. Shout it loud, God is here. God who knows how stones feel under your feet and how good it is to be with your friends, to enjoy something that smells beautiful and to wear lovely clothes. God who has crossed the universe to be with us, God is here. In the silence and the whisper, in the shouting and the noise, we know that God is real for us. But we human beings have shouted, "Crucify," and whispered, "I do not know the man." God, we know that you know our struggle to be better, to be holy and to be your people. Forgive us. The Lord Jesus has come to give us life in all its fullness. We are forgiven. It does not come cheap, but it is given freely. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For ours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Morning. I'm standing up here today because I need my hands, because I want to read a story. It's called No Matter What. It is a children's story, but it's got a great message. Fits in very nicely with what the children are going to be doing in a minute in the hall. Fits in quite nicely with the theme for the grown-ups as well. And I think if we're open to hearing what God says to us, we can hear something from God through this story as well. So it's called No Matter What. Let's put my eyes on. It's about a big fox and a little fox. Small was feeling grim and dark, playing toss and fling and squash, yell and scream and bang and crash, break and snap and bash and batter. Good grief, said Large, what is the matter? Small said, I'm a grim and grumpy little Small and nobody loves me at all. Oh, Small, said Large, grumpy or not, I'll always love you, no matter what. Small said, if I was a grizzly bear, would you still love me? Would you care? Of course, said Large, bear or not, I'll always love you, no matter what. Small said, but if I turned into a bug, would you still love me and give me a hug? Of course, said Large, bug or not, I'll always love you, no matter what. No matter what, said Small and smiled. What if I was a crocodile? Large said, I'd hug you close and tight and tuck you up in bed each night. Does love wear out, said Small? Does it break or bend? Can you fix it, stick it? Does it mend? Oh, help, said Large. I'm not that clever. I just know I'll love you forever. Small said, but what about when we're dead and gone? Would you love me then? Does love go on? Large held Small snug as they looked out at the night, at the moon in the dark and the stars shining bright. Small, look at the stars, how they shine and glow. But some of those stars died a long time ago. Still they shine in the evening skies. Love, like starlight, never dies. And today, you're going to be learning about how we love each other. But I want to say to you and to all the grown-ups something about God's love for us. No matter what we've done, God's love for us never dies. He loves us no matter what. And sometimes, that's a very simple message, and we think, yeah, I know that. But we need to hear it. We need to pray about it. We need to reflect on it. God's love for us never dies, and he loves us no matter what. We're going to sing, Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful. Can you help me with the actions? Yeah.
Thank you.
So if you were here last week, and I'm sure if you weren't and you've been in other Christian places, you've heard the reading about the body of Christ. And so Paul is has tackled the rivalry between different factions and different views about what matters most in church. And some of the examples are just things that would take our breath away. And then he says, and now I will show you what is the most important thing. We've heard these words many times. I think something of their potency is lost to us. Georgina Forbes will read this passage to us.
The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I will read the whole chapter. I may be able to speak the language of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all the knowledge and understanding of all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I have nothing. I may give away everything I have, and even give up my body to be burnt. If I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I am a grown-up, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
So let us pray. God, who is love, move in us, speaker and listeners, that when we leave this place, we would be your loving people. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 12, we have heard about talents and gifts and abilities and the complexity of holding church together. and the need for one, for the other, blah, blah, blah. And here, just when you thought it was really difficult, the writer turns up the gas. You can have the most amazing spiritual gifts, but if it does not come from a place of love, you do more harm. I don't know how you feel about a sounding gong. It does more harm than it does good. It doesn't matter. It does not matter how much stuff you do for the church, for the good of society. If it does not come from a place of love, you are wasting your time. Heard the text many times, but we regularly ignore it when it comes to our life together. What does love look like? Well, it's kind. What an underrated virtue that is. Kind. It's not driven by its own ego needs. Love puts up with things. Love looks for the best. Love keeps going till the end. Love cares more about others than it does about self. It thinks of the other first. It's not about warm feelings. That's the sort of claptrap that leads people astray, because we've only got one word, and actually there are a whole load of different things that are being spoken of in this one English language word, love. Love extends to enemies. It is sacrificial. It is enduring. So, in this one word, we've got three words in the New Testament. You've got eros, which is erotic love, which is not what's here. You've got philia, which is a general expression of love, which says about friendship. It's about a parent-child sort of a love. Close relationships, yes, that's all within philia. And then there is agape. This is what he's talking about here. He's talking about agape. He's talking about love that extends the enemy, love that is about self-sacrifice. That is the sort of love that we're talking about in the life of the church. I would say that much of past church life, including our pastoral care systems, came from a place of philia. That ship has sailed. It's not enough in Britain in 2019 in terms of the gospel, in terms of engaging in mission. The easy life of the 1950s, when people say that the church was the center of their social life, is a particular model of love, and that model is now spent. I'm your pal, you're my pal, lovely. We get on all the time, because when you get too much for me, I withdraw. And it's about good manners. It's not about love. Love says, I will stick with you, even though I think you're mental and you're a mean son of a gun. I will stick with you, even though you think that I am aggressive and unkind. We are together in the body of Christ, whether we like it or not. It's not an excuse for terrible behavior, but it is to pay attention to the reality of the fallenness of human beings. We are church, which is not the same as a warm womb of loveliness. Jesus has come into this fallen world in all its sin. where people do put themselves before others and are stingy, aggressive, and unkind. It happens. It doesn't make it right, but it is the real world. The shiny, happy church where everybody gets on with everybody is nonsense. So can you imagine, does anybody think that Jesus came to die on a cross so that we could all have a nice biscuit with our tea and set up a badminton club? Do you think that Jesus came to give his life so that we would only sing hymns that we like and have a style of worship that suited us? Do we think that is what church is about? Do we think that what it means to be a Christian is something that we can leave Jesus behind when we leave this building? Jesus died, and it's got something to say about life in all its fullness. So we will gather at the table to remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's not. We gather, it's a party to celebrate the fact that he has had an extended lecture tour about morality, and it's all been rather nice. He beckons us to this table with blood dripping from his side. He calls us to this table with holes in his hands. Why do we think it would be comfortable to follow Jesus? Why did we think it would be easy? It's love that nailed Jesus to the cross. But there's good news in that picture. So come to this table, because even a loser like you is welcome there. There is room. He loves us. The challenge, of course, is that we are called by him to love each other. Let us pray. We pray for all who are lacking in love. For those who do not receive the love they need. And for those who cannot show love to others. Shine your love upon us, Lord, so that we might reflect it out into the world. Help us to live your love in our actions, especially towards those we find it hard to love. Bring before you those who are sick, body or in mind. Those who are bereaved. those who are lonely. Those who are lost. We pray, Lord our God, that you will enable us to be a loving community and to find ways to share your love with one another and with those that we encounter day by day. Guide us to know what is right. That we would be brave in our loving, beyond the conventional. We would ask, Lord our God, that love would be the force that would drive us. The power that would bind us. And we know that such a message is a message for this country at this time. Be our guide. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. We bring bread, we bring wine, we bring money, we bring our lives. Symbols that we offer all that we have and completely the people that we are. Pour out your Spirit on us. Transform us, transform these gifts for the work of your kingdom. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join together to sing 447, I come with joy to meet my Lord. We believe that this is the Lord's table, and we believe that everyone is welcome here. But be cautious, because if you are wary about who you eat with, then you might find that this is a very demanding table. And be cautious if you think that because of your good works you have a right to be here, then you might find that this is a challenging place to be. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the mystery of life. for silence and noise, for rush and stillness, for time to challenge ourselves and time to rest, for time to go it alone and time to work in a group. For moments when we are surrounded by strangers and meals with friends, thank you. Thank you for tears that are mopped and laughter that is shared. Thank you for coming in Jesus, who knows what it is to live life on the earth, who knows the challenges and the temptations. Thank you for this bread and this wine, to be eaten and drunk not on our own, but in company with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and with you, our God. Thank you that it is not perfect, as we are not, but it is something that you can work through like us. Thank you. Lord, we pray. Amen. So when we say glibly, all are welcome here, we mean it. And the elders will bring you bread. And if you would join with us, you would be most welcome so to do. If you would rather not, then please feel free to pass the elements by. We know that some people have issues with wheat and gluten, so within this little fish, we have provision for you. So the way that works is the bread will come, you're invited to take it, to eat it, and when the wine comes, you're invited to hold it, and then we will all drink together. And for those of us who have issues with alcohol, the news is there is no alcohol in this wine. Took bread, blessed, broken, he took wine, poured out, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. blood of Christ. Jesus said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and the servant of all." Lord, you have fed us at this table. We have rejoiced that he is with us today. We thank you for this time, and we ask that you would help us now to follow him, to be your people in the world, and may your Holy Spirit show us the way. Make us holy. Fill us with love. Lord, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You," 474. Have we here? Aww. It's what is it? It's a rainbow, and underneath it says, God's love never ends. And then there's a bit from 1 Corinthians 13 at the top, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of mortal and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And this is a sign that God, who moved at the time of Noah, said, I will never destroy the earth again. It's a sign of God's love that will endure. You also got some rather lovely little things with that once upon a time had some sweets in. Yeah, once upon a time. Beautiful. Let's say a blessing as we go. And now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, for now, forever. And all God's people said,